Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today I'm very excited to have in the studio with me Pero Holloway, president of Barnard. And we'll be talking about the organization as well as the national policy on improving the lives of persons with disabilities. Welcome to Visions, Pero.
Thank you, Yudeli, and thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on the program.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Pero, as difficult or as hard as may be to believe, there may be some individuals who have never heard of Barnard. Can you share with us about this organization?
Yes, of course. Barnard is what we will call a cross-disabled organization, which means that we represent all persons with disabilities. Unlike some of the other organizations some of our listeners would hear about, like the Multiple Sclerosis Society, who represents the very name, multiple MS persons. We don't discriminate, if you want to say that word. Anyone is welcome, even persons who are non-disabled. We were running about 40 years, started in 1983 and became incorporated in 1989. So we have been around for a very long time.
Okay, so can you share with us some of the programs and activities that the organization has been doing over the years and in more recent times?
Well, in more recent times, I would say we would have paid particular emphasis on membership. And we recently had our leadership and training retreat, which did get some media coverage. That was at the Wyndham St. Lawrence Castle, Wyndham Grand Barbados St. Lawrence Castle, rather. And that was a historic opportunity for our persons in the organization to really plant the seed of leadership. One of the other programs, this is a long-standing program, is the Job Preparation Program, or Job Prep Program for short. And this has been going on for quite a while. But in the last year or so, we have had an injection of funding, which makes it possible to do a lot more on the behalf of persons who are seeking employment. And, you know, the buzzword now, or the buzz phrase on air now, is, you know, employment for disabled, employment for disabled. And we as an organization feel we need to play our part to make sure that our disabled persons in the organization and outside the organization have employment. One of the other things I would say we have been doing in the organization in most recent times is working on our brand, or, you know, elevating the brand of Barnard so that it becomes a more familiar word, and those persons who have not heard about it yet will hear about it in the future. So how are we doing that? We will change our logo. You know, we would pay emphasis on our administration, you know, becoming more public, becoming more relevant to the fight.
Nice, niceness, as the young people would say. So what would you consider as some of the major achievements over the last 40 years within the organization?
I would say one of the things that I've been seeing as a major achievement would be the influx of young persons. Now, I came into the organization as a young person, and it has always been a concern of the organization that we're not attracting young persons, and we're not attracting young skilled persons. And I would say over the last 40 years, we would have seen it has been slow, but steady influx of younger persons who want to pay an interest, who are paying an interest and want to do something within the organization. And I would say, to me, that speaks growth, because the young persons are the ones who will carry on this fight long after I am gone. And we have to have young persons coming into the organization for the organization to continue doing its work. One of the other things that I would say that we would have done over the years that has gotten better is provide assistance to our members. We're not an organization with deep pockets, as they say, but we do pay some focus on helping our members and even the wider disabled community. And we will continue to build on these things as we go forward.
For you personally, what would you say were some of the major lessons learned or the your own personal growth that would have been derived from being part of Barnard?
I would say one of the biggest things that I have had to learn as chairman, president, leader of the organization is patience. I think coming into the organization as a young person, I didn't have a lot of patience. I didn't have a lot of anything. And the organization would have groomed me through former presidents like yourself into becoming the leader that I am today. So I would say patience. I would say being able to manage or help in managing conflict. For those out there listening to this program who are in leadership positions, especially those who lead people, you would know that it's not an easy thing. Conflict with your conflict, people having conflict with you, and also people having conflict with themselves, does require a lot of patience. And I would say I have learned a little bit about it, but I think I have a way to go in terms of being able to navigate that difficult space in leadership. One of the other things I would say that I have learned personally as a member of the organization is the awareness of the plight of other persons with disabilities in Barbados, the region, and globally. Because Barnard has afforded me the opportunity to travel throughout the globe and see persons who you would not normally see in Barbados with all different types of severe disabilities. And that would have open up my eyes to one, these things are out there, and two, what is possible for persons with severe disabilities can do. Because if you travel, you would see persons who are deafblind, persons who are in wheelchairs with respirators and all kind of tubes coming out of them. And they are doing magnificent things. They're leaders in government, big social service agencies. And you would think, well, how is that possible? How are they able to do that? And I would say that is one of the biggest things that I would have learned through the organization is that these people exist and the opportunities and the ability for them to advance themselves also exists. And that helps to give us, the persons who are tasked with leadership, a bigger vision. And that if they can beat the odds, then us here who have not so much severe disabilities can do the same.
And I quite agree with that sentiment because, as you correctly said, I remember when I first went out of Barbados to a regional meeting and saw persons, as you correctly said, on respirators, persons lying on a bed, like a hospital bed, and still moving around in the conference and being dynamic about what they're presenting. It really was an eye-opener, and well, for me, it inspired me to want to do more to uplift the disabled in Barbados. Now, Pero, you have been within the organization for many years. Tell me what is one of the major changes that you feel satisfied with, through the advocacy of Barnard and other organizations, as well as individuals with disabilities?
Now, one of the changes that I would say I have seen, and I think most people would expect me to say, oh, the ramps and the accessible buses and those kind of things. But one of the things that I have been seeing, which legislation cannot change, is the change in attitudes and mindset of the average Barbadian person towards a person with disabilities. Yes, we still have elements of discrimination. I don't think we'll ever get rid of that. But the general public has come a long way, or the citizens of Barbados have come a long way in accepting us as individuals and worthwhile contributors to this society. I'm visually impaired. I didn't used to use the cane. I didn't like to use it because I felt it created a stigma. But when they pulled my cane out, man, you get the royal treatment. And I think that speaks that to the fact that people are aware and they're willing to help, because I'm sure there are persons in the early days who would have put out their cane and nobody paid them any attention. So let me thank the citizens of Barbados for helping to create that big change in mindset. And we're hoping that it will continue to happen and we will have full acceptance at some point in time in the future towards persons with disabilities. I agree with I also want to talk about the ramps, the parking spaces. We love those, we need them, and the fact that we are seeing persons with disabilities acquiring employment, not as much as we would like, but it is happening. It should happen more. We're hoping it happens more. And the fact that the disability grant has been open to more categories of persons with disabilities, we would like to see more, but small steps. The legislation that is now being debated and going through Parliament, that's a big historic change. And it's a good time to be alive as a disabled person to see these things happen in real time.
As well as not just seeing the changes, but to feel proud of the fact that you too have contributed to some of these changes by speaking up, whether publicly or privately, within your family, within your churches, within your communities, within your schools, within the healthcare system, wherever you have spoken up. Your voice has certainly added to many of the changes that we are currently seeing. And
Indeed.
this leads us nicely into the next segment of our conversation, Pedro, which is the policy. It took many years, but we finally arrived at the space where the national policy on improving the lives of people with disabilities was debated in the Parliament of Barbados over the last 2 weeks. And tell me what this means for you as an individual and for the organization Barnard.
What it means for me as an individual in that I believe that I now have a better future, in that a lot of the things that we have been advocating and need, not want, as persons with disabilities is now being written into legislation. And that's significant. It's significant because we can advocate all we want, but if there's nothing, as the lawyers say, if it is not on paper, it never happened. So having the legislation gives us a bit more leverage, a bit more weight in order to advocate car race. It doesn't mean that many expectation is passed, that things will change tomorrow, and like no will turn on and everything will be good. The fight still has to have to go on. But we have the legislation to say, look, this is what the law says, this is what policy says, and this is what should happen. And that is what it means for me personally, that now we can go ahead, we can go ahead, we can go forward confidently, that we now have something in place that we can reference to and say, well, hey, this needs to be done, and it needs to be done quickly. As an organization, I think organizations like Barnard and others who represents persons with disabilities, now is the time for us to get our house in order. We need to start becoming better at what we do as organizations, because the fact that we have we are about to have legislation, it means that our advocacy and our fight becomes even more important. And the strategies that need to be put in place in order for organizations like us to really do what we need to do will have to change, because we were operating in an environment where we had none. So we were bawling and crying, this is what needs to happen. And we were relying on public sentiment, the goodness of people. But now we have more. So as organizations, now you have more. It is time for us to do more in terms of making ourselves as organizations a better place in the society to be able to take advantage of these pieces of legislation.
No, Peru, Barbados culturally is very different to the US and Canada, whom we hear a lot about regarding their disability legislation. And we have read, we have witnessed the protests as well as the litigation by organizations and individuals with disabilities. Do you see having legislation and policy in Barbados would generate that level of litigation and high advocacy?
That's an interesting question, Yumi, because that question was being asked before there was legislation. And the Barbados demographic suggests that our cultural mindset suggests that we are not the kind of society that would go and chain ourselves to the parliament gate, or stay up in the streets like what happened in Trinidad a few years ago by wheelchair persons. And unfortunately, actually, one person died in that protest. We are not generally that kind of person, but I would say that we have a mindset of younger persons coming into the movement who have that kind of mindset, who have that kind of idea that agitation by protests is the way that I need to go in order for my voice to be heard. And I'm thinking that maybe in the next 10, 20 years, you would see more persons. Now, they wouldn't be young persons then, they will be more mature, but having that agitation spirit where they would use the legislation to bring class action suits and protests. Not because they're more violent, but because they are more aware of their rights, and they understand that using what is there is the way to go. I mean, you want to build a house, you have to take up the tools that you have. And these pieces of legislation and the way that things are going and the mindset of Barbadians as we progress as a developing society will bring that kind of environment in the future. So I would say yes. I don't think it may be to the level of some of the other countries where there's, mass litigation against companies and so on, but we are a small society, and even if it happens in small areas, it is significant to the change and mindset of Barbadian culture.
Okay, now many individuals with disabilities and families who have members with disabilities, maybe they're thinking, yes, I hear all what you're saying, and it doesn't make a difference to me because I still need money to purchase food, I still need money to buy the necessary equipment. That may be out of my reach. I need money to do basics for my child, my young adult, my middle-aged adult child with a disability, and for the individuals with disabilities who may be able to lead in an independent life. Again, they will be looking at their needs and what they require to really function as independently as possible. And we know that equipment is extremely expensive, and we have no fund to obtain the monies to purchase many of these types of equipment or make adjustments to our home. So they may be thinking, well, the policy doesn't matter. It will not impact my life. It will not change anything. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you lead organizations are a mirror of what's in society. And I would say we do have persons in our organizations who are not interested to the extent that we would like about the, the policies, the things that what the Barbadians would say that are up there. They're more interested in how they're going to pay the light bill. But that is why we have to fight the way we do. Because those who understand the importance of the policies and whatnot are the ones who would advocate on the behalf of the ones who are not very interested, because you will always get that. You will always get persons who are more concerned about their basic needs, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We understand that, and there's relevance in that. But for them to satisfy their basic needs, a lot of things have to happen other than satisfying their basic needs in order for that. Not for them to get their basic needs met, because an environment has to be created where that is possible. And I think something that don't it doesn't make much sense. And if a person is at a level of vulnerability that we need to go and try to educate them at that point in time about, oh, when you hear about the policy, is going to help you next week. Are you hungry today? So you, as Maslow said, the basic needs, you meet people where they're at, and there is a space for those who are not very interested, because we understand you're at that point where the only interest is your needs, and that is okay. We will be the ones who understand, and the total picture will be the ones to help to put it in place that these things can happen.
But Pedro, as we discuss this matter of policy and legislation, and we are seeing it playing out regarding the parking spaces identified and earmarked for people with disabilities. Enforcement. Having the necessary enforcement by the law, the relevant authorities, and then the compliance by citizens. How do you think, with the new creation, this new legislation, how do you think we can engage and support and call for the necessary enforcement of this legislation?
No, I'm glad that you asked that question, Lee, because I think that the idea of parking spaces for the disabled, the blue parking spaces, I think that's what the colors are, you know. I think we need more sensitization because you are having a situation. I've seen it happen multiple times in the last year or so. You are seeing a situation where persons are trying to park in the parking spaces, and security of that particular establishment has to have a back and forth with that person who is adamant that they should park there because no disabled people in parking there. And what is actually happening now is that establishments are putting no parking signs in the disabled parking spaces. And I personally have had to get out and move no parking signs from parking spaces. And I've even had a few persons that who are driving me, and they said, is there disabled parking? Can you see any? And they say, yes, but there's a no parking sign there, so we can't park there neither. And so you have a situation where you go from too far left to too far right. And I think this can only be remedied by sensitization, not only for the persons who should obey the fact that you shouldn't park there if you don't have a parking ID, but for the establishments, for the companies, for the businesses who have allocated parking spaces to understand, well, if you don't want a confrontation with persons, putting a no parking sign in the parking spaces is not necessarily the best way to go either, because you are hindering the persons who should park there from parking there. So it renders the parking space useless unless persons are discerning to, you know, well, go and take up the parking space sign, and then you show the security your parking ID, and then he said, oh, well, you're good to go. So, I mean, I don't think legislation is going to fix that. I heard about and the debate having clamps put on cars and so on. Well, I'm not a legislator, so I don't know how that will work. I even heard about increasing the fine from 500 to 5,000. I think these are good ways of deterring people, a deterrent from persons parking there. But I think Barbadians just believe that once there's available parking space, that they should park there. And that's a general mindset. And if you go into a full parking lot, to the supermarket or whatever, and there are five empty parking spaces and the whole entire parking lot is full, then people will be compelled to want to park there. That's the mindset. The key to me is to sensitize those persons that, you know, even though those spaces are free, even though I don't have anywhere else to park, I must understand that a person with a wheelchair will come here and will need that space because they may be the person behind me trying to get into that space. We don't have that mindset yet. We don't have people, the general public, driving public, who believe that somebody is coming in a car who needs that space. We're not there yet with everybody. And only sensitization, in my opinion, can do that. Because there are people who will take the clamp, and because they want to gain space, or they may feel, well, nobody around here to see me park there. I can go in here and come back quick. And nobody ain't gonna care. So I think we have a way to go in terms of it, and we don't want to go too far over the other side, and then we have more issues like what is emerging in terms of the
Parking spaces.
parking sign in the project. And it's really funny to see that you have a no parking sign in a disabled parking space, and there's several of them. So I'm asking the listening public to this program, if you see it, a no parking sign in a disabled parking space, go in and tell them that, look, I want to put this no parking sign here. Pedro from Barnard say that a disabled person coming and park there just now, and you all need to move it.
Well, Pero, time has caught up with us, and it really has been a very engaging conversation, which I would want to continue, and I will invite you back to continue the conversation so that more interest can be sparked as well as more understanding is gained in relation to the upcoming legislation and the policy, because I think these are two important documents that will significantly impact the lives of people with disabilities. So thank you very much for coming and sharing your thoughts on these two topics.
Thank you, Julie. It has been a pleasure.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yodalee Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest, Pearl Holloway, President of Barnard. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. Remember, I want you to love yourself and love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. So until next week, thanks for listening and ciao.